Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted, we'll be at the schools and we're doing what we can. We do have more increased patrols here in Hoopa. As you've seen, there's a lot more sheriffs in town, and it's sad it took this incident for that to happen, but there is a lot more officer presence in town, so. And like Joe said, they did get one of the subjects, so. And two outstanding, believe not to be in town. I'm not too sure of that, but it's just the information that was given to us.
And I would just encourage anybody, if you have tips, I know some people get a little nervous about making an anonymous tip to the county. You can do it to tribal police too, and then Chief McCovey can pass that along as well as his other officers, because I know people are a lot more comfortable talking to our own people, myself as well. So feel free to contact them if you guys have any tips, witness anything, hear anything. I mean, all info is good info.
I would just reiterate too what Chief McCovey had mentioned, is for the suspects and their families, if encourage them to turn themselves in, if they believe that they're innocent, they'll have an opportunity to prove that. However, if not, it could come to, a worse outcome of more people losing their lives. I know that James could probably tell you that when there's a felony arrest, you guys are coming in with guns drawn, and one wrong move and you could see a barrage of gunfire from either side. And so, being able to turn yourself in will prevent that, and hopefully come to a more orderly, appropriate outcome. Okay.
I was going to go after Ricky.
Okay, we had a couple people with hands up. I think Farah and Rob had their hands up first, and we'll come back to Paula, and then we'll come back to Zoom. I apologize to the folks on Zoom.
Yes, I just had two comments, actually. In the past, I did attend a Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District board meeting, and they were talking about smoking in the bathrooms, whether or not they needed cameras everywhere on campus but the bathroom. But one suggestion that they had was absolutely no backpacks. And if you have a backpack, it's going to be clear, like they have at Disney World or any other place, that you cannot have a concealed bag on campus, or else you'll get in trouble, because a clear backpack is one way to go. Will the school provide those? Yes, but a clear backpack in addition to metal detectors and the wand. I'm sure the wand is going to be at the lockers, being able to scan those as well. So that's my first comment. Clear backpacks is what's needed, because obviously it was passed around, like the young lady said. The second thing I had is we have to start from square one with human and mental health services, being able to say, okay, we didn't have something going on for these youths to participate in. Even if it's a cribbage tournament, even if it's a pickleball something, every week to participate in, we have to do more and say, I understand that staff are completely to the brink with hours, but we have to do more in recognizing things to do, not only for youth, but the community members. Because once the community members are out doing positive things and resources, then that could be a positive change in the community. So we have to start from square one, see what the mental health was of these students on both sides. And so the realization that we have to do more with mental health and recognizing red flags and really warning signs of something this tragic to happen. So I really applaud the three tribes coming together and reach out to, Blue Lake, Wiyot Tribe, Trinidad Rancheria, all those tribes, they have stake in our youth. So Bless you.
Thank you.
But what James touched on about belonging, he has no idea. But the fundamental prevention technique that is most effective is belonging. The key factor of gang affiliation anywhere, this is even in the LA main gangs, is they're lacking a sense of belonging. And when I learned that in the social work program many decades ago, I was absolutely ashamed, because it was like Brad had talked about when these pop-up gangs were starting to happen here. So when we clap and we look around, we also need to take some accountability for these cultural gatekeepers that don't allow all kids a right to know who they are and where they come from or participate in our cultural activities. I'm glad to see a lot of culture bearers here in the audience, because they may not know this connection. And then just real quick, clear backpacks are not the answer. Over-policing good students, which most of our children are good students without any disciplinary, why should they be punished? Why should they be over-monitored for a handful of students? It's the same thing about gun control. The bad people are always going to have guns. Gun control is for people that follow the rules and apply for permits. And it makes good people have more challenges getting a way to defend themselves against, like you're talking about, these illegal weapons or whatever. But thank you, James, for everything you're doing. I just called James a couple weeks ago to thank him for being such a hands-on parent. His son and my son are good friends, and I appreciate having a father as our chief. Thank you.
Hi, I'm a Trinity Valley student, and I just want to say that I have siblings. Sorry, I have siblings and cousins in Hoopa thing, and also, sorry. I have siblings and, I have siblings and I have cousins in Hoopa, and I also know that the gun last week was hidden in the clothes. I have a friend that was showed the gun and was flashed the gun by a student, and this the person that showed the gun was a student who has had multiple offenses like that and has my nose is suspended right now, but has had multiple incidents like that, and also has been a creep to my friend who told me this information. And I've also have had multiple friends from Hoopa tell me that the students were hiding the gun in their clothes. So, to the clear backpacks, I don't think that would work. How are you guys gonna help students come forward to, say what they're been shown or what they've heard? Because it's scary sometimes when you're shown something that can be threatening your life. My friend was scared to go to teachers and grown-ups and adults because of the student, because of the gun. So she came to me and asked me what to do, and I tried to tell her what to do, but I'm not sure. I'm scared for my siblings, my cousins, and my friends in Hoopa Valley. So I'm just wondering how, besides from therapy, because it's not just, it can't always help, how are they gonna feel comfortable coming forward?
I would say, to Ms. Scott's point there, I think there needs to be a lot of education, you know, for our youth to... We do have to move away from this anti-snitching mentality of, you know, you're the bad guy if you're going to tell on somebody else. I mean, by making that information known, you may just save somebody's life. You know, you're actually a hero. So the mentality and looking at that, I think it needs to be shared widely. Maybe the school makes that part of their curriculum for all teachers can teach those kind of values. The other part of it is, you know, talking amongst ourselves and with our relatives, our friends, people that have kids, is like reminding them, hey, pay attention to what your kid's doing, you know where they're at. It used to amaze me when I served as recreation director here, and we would stay open till 9 or 10 at night, and oftentimes we'd have a handful of kids there when it was time to close the building, and nobody came looking for them. Nobody ever, you know, I would have to give them a ride home, or somebody else would give them a ride, or, you know, they'd say, well, I'm gonna walk over here to my friend's house. But I never got any calls like, hey, you know, where's my kid, or, you know, where did they go? Sometimes I would say, if they were going to a friend's house, I would say, well, do your parents know that you're going here? You know, they don't care, you know, like there was no, it was amazing. Like nobody came looking for these kids at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, when we see that, I guess at the time I probably could have done a better job of maybe reporting it to ICWA or something. But, you know, when we see those things, we can be better at, letting somebody know. So it's like, hey, these kids clearly don't have any support. Nobody's there for them. Or if you know parents who are in that boat, you know, talk to them. Say, hey, you know, make sure you're paying attention to where your kid's at, what they're doing. Obviously, they got the gun from somewhere. You know, I'm thinking it wasn't generated by another youth. That somewhere along the line, it came from an adult, you know. And so paying attention to that, I think just it, re-educating ourselves and in our communities and our values and looking out for each other, because so we know that we all have family members that are in a bad way, you know, and they may not be raising their kids properly or teaching them those values. So it's like, well, have a conversation with them, try to help them get right, and in the meantime, maybe their kids can hopefully find somewhere else to be or something, you know. But I think a lot of that does start at home. Let's get back to our order. I had said that Farrah would go, and then Paula, and then I don't know if Dawn had a comment as well. Who? Oh, Zoom? All right. Yeah, there's folks on Zoom been waiting for a long time, too. Go ahead if you have something on Zoom. Anybody there on Zoom? May have your mute. We can't hear anything. Anybody? Maybe they left. So you have that. Okay, who is next?
You have Lynn, Leslie, Dom, okay. Farrah.
Sally from 1990 was going to grab the mic. I'm Farrah Ferris. I'm honored and humbled to be a tribal member, and I'm serving as the Human Services Director, doing a lot more equal work than Human Services, and that tells you kind of where we're at when it comes to interventions, right? It's like going to the doctor to get your teeth pulled at this point. And first of all, I want to give our thoughts and prayers to our family. And sorry, you know, for those of you don't, I'm sure Boyd said it in the beginning, but we're very privileged to be standing here. You know, I'm not sitting in a hospital. I'm not having to worry about protecting my kids, right? Or my nephews or my nieces. So for that, I say, you know, in all humbleness, but we are privileged if we're sitting in this room, because it means it's not you, it's not your kid, and it's not your legacy, right? So with that being said, we, I think as a human services director, I'm not in the police force, right? I didn't go to school for that. I went to go to school for a lot of different things, and I think life taught me a lot more, right? Our fishing and our water teaches a lot more than what, you know, colonized education gives us. But with that being said, coming back to HOOPA, I thought we'd be able to do a lot of preventive work. And I say I'm not an officer, but I certainly know a lot about this gang violence that's hit the valley, right? So in answer, I think it was Lynn's question, there is norteños, right? And that's an offshore. That just means, I guess in Spanish, and I should know more because my husband's Mexican. But not in a gang and not for cal, I'm just saying. Old-fashioned money the old way. But that just means from the north, right? And then the other offshoots of that, and I always say the name wrong, I said it earlier, but it's H-O-G-A-N. If you look at Blue Slide, it's tagged up there, right? That's an offshoot of that. I've had to learn a lot, and I say that. I come from a family that's broad-based, from homemakers to, you know, my grandpa was killed from the biker life, so I don't watch Sons of Anarchy. I don't think it's fabulous, right? Same thing with gang violence. And then I know there's an offshore of another thing, and I, you know, I think it's a controversial topic, but it's real, right? That this other gang that's 53rd, and I know people say it's not real, but the end result is it's not for us to decide. What we're doing with, again, is we're dealing with the effects of people trying to belong, like you said, right? But more importantly, it's about self-efficacy, right? Just feeling good about yourself. And some things we can't do, but through hopefully reaching a youth, and I think a lot of times too, we always say parents, but that again is a privilege, and that's an assumption that a lot of these kids have parents, because they don't, right? That's why it takes aunties, it takes mothers, it takes, you know, grandmas, it takes allies to do the work. And we can't change what happened, but we can only go through this through a healing journey. And you know, I'm grateful that the Yurok Tribe Behavioral Health came out to our building, you know, and I think our building was full of a lot of providers today, and I was grateful for Shoshone being able to share the space, and we're going to continue to share the space. One of the things that we hope to do, in addition to bring gang violence awareness, right, is we have to also, I know for right now, again, our prayers are with the immediate loss of our family members and our tribal member and our legacy. But in addition to that, we have to, when we see, like the young lady said, therapy isn't always it, right? It isn't, right? And in our world, I always say, it's, you always had someone, right? I had my auntie Pat. I still have aunties that I go to, you know, shout out to my auntie Dick. But I just think those are the best therapists in the world, but we have to be healthy, as people said. So what we're hoping to do is bridge with, we've been brainstorming off and on in between crisis calls today, is a circle group, because a lot of hushed mentality is what a lot of, you know, I'm a female and I'm a feminist at heart, right, as much as we can be as HOOPA women, but we need to create a space for these women, because with gang violence, it's not just killing, but we have to be able to think about sexual assault, right? Some of this is what we saw is about retaliation and sexual assault. So I don't care if, you know, poor Mr. Jeff, and I sat next to him, but he didn't mind it. He's my cousin. But we have to be aware of that. When we're talking about red flags, power is not just seen by a gun. Power is seen by the way interactions are. And we have to also see that it's not just fentanyl. It's also alcohol, right? So when you see a group of people saying, and I don't mind being the Indian Karen, I do not care. But I tell them, I don't want you drinking and driving, right? AWOC, my niece, Lacey May, we sat in court for 2 years for her. We don't need that. But alcohol is a real issue too, not just fentanyl. And then when we talk about sexual assault, we need to listen to the females and the men. So we're hoping with our circle group, we're going to create an open space for them to do that off campus. Because I agree, I don't think clear backpacks are the way. You know, there's 3D printing, and that's where it's going. You know, AI and 3D printing, and so it won't matter. Your gun's not going to go off through a metal detector. And then how much of that is just overweighting, anxiety, and depression coming off of these? But it's, so we're hoping to bring more groups. We already have a little girls group from about 4 to about 10 at Human Services. It's the last Wednesday of the month. We said that's where we need to catch them, because by 10, I make a joke, but by 10, I don't know about you, I have a nephew who's 11, and I swear some days he's 37. So I think we need to catch them at an early age, and we need to be available to them. But that takes money, that takes time, and if you work for the school, you save the tribe. If you work for the tribe, you save the school. I don't care anymore, you know. We work a long hours, and our council, you know, we elect them to make a lot of decisions, but their money can only stretch so far. So that's where, you know, if you see something, if you see a kid like Joe said, who's not, if they're walking the roads, stomp them, you know. Send a referral. Human Services has been working with the sheriffs to create an anonymous app tip line. And, you know, we want to do that electronically because that's where kids are. I'm not, but that's where the kids are. And then for the old aunties like myself and the grandmas, we're going to have a voicemail line. And we are going to add it to the sheriffs. We've been working with, you know, sheriffs trying to connect it. Because sometimes we all love each other too much that we tell each other too much, right? So we're going to try to create avenues so people can have information and to be able to receive information. So we're going to have a tip line electronically in telehealth, right, in some level. And then we're trying to make ourselves available. But again, that means to do prevention work, we can't do intervention work, right? So that's where we're going to Title 30A. Shout out to Title 30A. If you're safe to work with children, call Human Services. If you can't pass Title 30A, we ask that maybe you do something aligned with that. Maybe you can go help the sheriffs or something. But for us at Human Services, we want more help and more support and more knowledge. And we also are creating a line. Our new telephone line number is 6700, done on purpose so the youth could remember it, right? I know it took us a long time to get a phone number, but hey, Acorn's amazing. But 6767, shout out to Bash. But that's going to help them remember, and it is. They're remembering things. But the other thing about it is, as mentioned, is it's what's going to keep people safe, right? And it's okay that you don't feel safe, because then it tells us adults that we need to do something, right? And then the other thing to it is we want to invite more spaces for people, right? Sometimes I heard today, reach out to the athletes on someone who was born in poverty. I wasn't an athlete. I had to go get a job to pay for my laundry soap. So we have a lot of youth who want to do arts. Tonight we had a youth who's going to open up an art session, and we really need to do as much as we can, but collaboration, we talked about today, the River Tribe's strong. We can't always count on county to do things for us. We love our allies, but just remotely, it's not always possible for us. You know, so take a student intern this summer. I'm not with TANF, but take a student intern. You'll save a life. And I say that because we took a young man who 2 years ago took a gun to his workplace, right? This last summer, he thrived in forestry. And he's going to graduate and get a job with forestry. And so, again, you really have to make sure that you're available, right? And document, right? Because I didn't know that kid took a gun 2 years ago. So fortunately for us, it worked out. But document everything, because if you didn't document, it didn't happen. And Facebook, I absolutely agree with you. I'm one of those. Again, I'm the Indian Karen. I don't mind. I report it. It goes down. Self-harming and suicide and a minor, take it down. Because not only that, it's just rumors, but on top of that, just hateful, right? It's just hateful. And we're better than that. But again, maybe we're not. And I think sometimes we're not, myself included, right? So I think that's just our hurt, right? Hate is just, it's not really hate. Anger is not really anger. It's fear and sadness. And that's the basics. But we're going to, if you have information, again, 6700, we're going to take anything contribution-wise. But I think we just have to, and I say this humbly as I'm surrounded with people I respect like Pam, quit complaining and give us some ideas, right? I think Joe Davis has said that numerous times. What do you like to put in writing? So we're trying to do as the best we can. We rub two little coins together, which mean very little in this world, but try to come together and come up with some opportunities. And education, advocacy is something that we also are striving to do more. So if you're looking for some support, that's good. But we also need a lot of men. I hate to say it. Again, I'm married. I don't need a man. But we need men to come volunteer, you know, because they don't want to hear from an old auntie. They don't. Right. They want to see someone. Brad Inker.
And then this is just a side point. We got really good cameras at Human Services. And again, shout out to Acorn Wireless. But, you know, it, I don't believe in surveillance. But right now, surveillance means safety and safety first in our field. So I also shout out to all these young men who are coming up through tribal police, because when I'm after five, they're on duty from 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, so I'm forever grateful to them for knocking on these doors. Because we don't often go by ourselves, and we too have fear, right? So I know there's a lot more, but we're working hands-on with Officer Kerr, and he's I know it's not always welcoming sometimes, but he's brought a lot to our attention, and whether it's real gang or fake gang, at the end of the day, people are getting raped, murdered, and we're gonna be going to a funeral in less than too short of time. So set the, as we say, as Ferris way, for Sean.
Lynn?
I have a concern. Oh, we got a notice on Facebook about the school district saying that it should be safe for our kids because the shooting had nothing to do with the incident at the school. I do have something to say about that too, because the kids did tell the school that there was a gun on site and nothing really was done. They checked them once and that was done. But how can they assure us, the school district captain, how can you assure us that if the shooter was a freshman in high school and the victim was a senior in high school, how can we know that they would start at school? And how can you put that in writing and tell us it didn't?
I think the comment about the unrelatedness of the school incident and the shooting came from law enforcement. It didn't come from the school. From where I've been. Yeah, okay. Dawn, did you have a comment?
I wasn't trying to talk, but since you offered. I think that by and large, our greatest strength here is our culture. And as I have been in front of, like, not just you, but boards throughout the decades and trying to say that we need prevention. You know, it's way more efficient to do prevention than it is to do what we're doing now, because this is decades of hurt and harm that we're going to be dealing with here. And I think that, well, I'm thankful that we have all the great support right now coming in for our kids, but it's the Band-Aid that we're always doing, and we need to get past that. And we are strong in our culture, and our kids know it, but they're not receiving it because we always put it on the back burner. I think that one of the great successes in our tribe has been the Indian Center, and it runs, has run for decades on a shoestring budget since Marceline initiated that decades ago. And I've seen over and over kids come back out of that program, you know, and they have strong identities and they have ties to our language and our culture, and that's what we need. And I think that just we have to consider that we're dealing with different kids today than we were however many years ago that was for me, a long decades and decades. They have more traumas than we do, and just the progression of the drug use in the valley and alcoholism and the way that our kids are born and the things that they're exposed to, it's more than is fathomable to me. And I think that we need to consider that we need a lot more resources to deal with that at this point. So it feels like right now everyone is just running and out of breath from trying to get ahead of this, and we need to front load it a lot more. And I feel like meetings like this, we need a lot more of them to figure out how we do this today. But I really feel like, you know, getting culture not just into our youth, but also into our tribal system is very important. It can't be on our back burner. It's our absolute identity. And you heard it multiple times over here tonight, how important identity is. That's fascinating about gang culture and gang violence, that, you know, you can just scoop up somebody's identity and that's all they ever needed This is what all of our kids need. This is what we need as people of this community. We need to identify here. So I want to be part of this conversation. I don't know the answers, but that's what I have to say. Thank you.
So I don't know if all of you know who I am, but I'm Curtis. I mean, I look around and I see a lot of people that I know, that I grew up with, that I look to for guidance in this life, that helped steer me as a young man in this community. I sit right here looking at one of my coaches, someone who helped guide a young man who had every predisposal to not end up in a good situation, just like many young men that I look to face room right now, not to mention, I mean, I'm loud, I don't,
okay.
Sorry, Zoom people. If you don't know me, if you're in the Zoom and you don't know my story, I've been coaching in this community for the better part of 20 years. I have dedicated my life to these kids, not just this group of boys, but to the youth of this community. I've worked my fingers to the bone, ensuring that these kids have something. Going back to the days when Mr. Davis was my boss, I would go the extra mile for those kids, those girls' softball games, those boys' baseball games. I've spent thousands of hours on that football field over the course of the last 15 years trying to provide a safe place for the boys in this community. Obviously, I'm not a female, so I can't help guide a female in this life, but I can help guide a male in this life. This message for everyone in attendance or whoever posts this, whoever forwards this, this message isn't directed at anybody in this room. This is directed at us as a community. It's time to wake up, men. You know, I look around at you guys and it's time to wake the hell up. Make your boys behave. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of letting my boys chain a little bit too loose and a little bit of teenage trouble ensues, and that's how shit like this adds up. Sorry for my language, but when I mean something, my boys know when I cuss that I mean something, that my words need to be listened to. So I know that I'm not as old as some of you. I don't know. I know that I haven't been through some of the trials and tribulations that make you up as individuals, but all of your stories are going to help this community and help these young men who right now have no guidance. All they have to look for is what they call nowadays as packing a pole around, putting a pistol in their pants. Me being the person down here with boots on the ground knows from firsthand knowledge that boys are walking through our high school with guns in their backpack and guns in their pants because they got in an argument the day before because someone called them a P-U-S-S-Y. Jesus Christ, if I could count how many times I've been called that in my life and walked away from it, I'd be a rich man. You know? I think that used to be my nickname when I was a little kid. You know? And resilience is what breeds from that. Yep. Not feeding into these kids, yeah, go beat that boy's ass, because you know what? That's how I used to get down. Well, damn it, look at what we're in. I only hear stories of the 80s and how this place was in the 80s. If we don't stand up now as men, I'm not talking to the women, I'm talking to the men. It's time. I don't care if you have a kid. I don't care if you have a son, a nephew, a little cousin. If you're single in this life and you have nothing to do with your time, then start coming down and helping me out at Warrior Camp. Start coming helping me out down there and coach my boys. I have literally worked my fingers to the bone. Harold was my coach in Little League, and Harold used to do that same thing. Wes was my coach when I was a young man, and you know what? Wes had some harsh words for me when I was acting up. And back then, in a time when you could take that and not go stand up for your son and want to fight the man who did it, when I went home and told my dad what Wes had said to me, he asked me what the situation was, and then once he was done hearing what the situation was, he said, good for Wes. What happened to that? What happened to that? Are we too scared of our boys that we can't put a young man in his place anymore? I look around and I see a lot of dads who either have a young man that's going to be scared to come up, or you're going to be scared for them to come up if this is what we're turning to, if this is how we're teaching our boys. God damn, that boy was just at my house less than 3 weeks ago. Came and had dinner. Came and sat down. Said, hey, Kurt, every time I saw him at school, hey, Kurt, what's up, bro? You would have never thought that this is what would happen because of hearsay. There's a whole network that you guys need to dive into with your grandkids, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, whoever you call that's in this realm of being a teenager in this little ecosystem right now. Quit turning a blind eye and being so wrapped up with what you got going on, because you know what? You signed up to be a parent. You signed up to be a parent. It's a hard walk. Ask all these old timers around here who already walked the walk. It's a hard walk to walk this life and be positive and not want to fall victim to the drugs, the alcohol. Oh, yeah, it'd be real easy for me to go snap into a six-pack every night because I got some real traumas that haunt me when I turn off the lights at night. Some stuff that I had to see and hold in my hands that bring me to tears and bring me to my knees when I think about it. And if we as a community can help each other get through that, we as a community need to help these young men rise up above this bullshit. And I'll continue to do this, what I'm doing right now, until the day that I die. Even far when my three boys are grown up and long gone, and I have to do this just like Inker, running with the boys down there at almost 70 years old to be positive for these boys. I hope, you know, I really do. I don't want to stand up here and toot my horn. I've made my mistakes. All of you can look at me and say, I remember when you was running around and when you was causing trouble, but it was harmless teenage boy trouble.
But you're going to something
about
it now.
Yes. Exactly. You know, I chose to drive down here. I didn't even know this meeting was going on, but damn it, I'm so close to this situation that it hurts. It hurts that I have two handfuls of boys that are calling me crying, that are scared for their life, that are asking me, what, Kurt? My house is probably going to be a safe haven for the next 3 days for this group of 15, 16 boys. And I need help. I'm not saying it like I'm doing better than you. I'm not better than not one man in this room. But I ask that you, a lot of you, have trusted me with your kids over the years. I've coached wrestling, I've coached basketball, I've coached baseball, I've coached girls softball, I've coached football ever since I was 17 years old, because I knew by going through it what was going to happen if nobody stood up and at least helped. Like I said, I'm not better than anybody. I have my own stuff that I go through and my own stuff that I go to bat for every single day. But the one thing that we all men need to come together in is standing up for these boys and steering them towards the right way. Just because, oh man, you got in a fight with so-and-so's uncle 20 damn years ago. Jesus Christ, let it go. Or so-and-so didn't get served up at dance camp. Come on, this is the shit that people don't want to talk about.
It's true.
But what in the hell? You got boys who stand there all damn night waiting for a pair of feathers so they could at least stand in the damn pit. And you got dance leaders letting them stand there cold with their shirt off all night and then embarrassed the next morning because they didn't get no feathers all goddamn night. They made the choice to go down there as a damn near man, knowing that I know some men who don't go down there because of the lump they have to swallow in their throat to go into a realm that they don't know much about. But a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, shit, I see 10-year-olds staying up all night off two cups of coffee. The possibilities are endless if you guys all quit being so wrapped up. Parents quit being so wrapped up in the crap they got going on. Stuff like school being in session tomorrow. Jesus Christ, school district. We have a young man that's fighting for his life right now. All his closest friends, all the girls who ever had a crush on him are in shambles right now. All his friends that he's ever came up with. I'm glad to say that I was a part of taking this young man to his first dance that a girl invited him to. if things don't turn out right, that's a memory that me and my son will have forever, and my wife, because we drove them up there, got to hear how excited they were, got to pick them up and come back, and guess what? Not one drop of alcohol or drugs was involved in that. It was good, clean fun. What we need to get back to, what we as people made us strong 100 years ago. Yep. We're falling victim to all the shit that came here and destroyed us. And because we're scared to stand up to our cousin who's running around causing shit, because we're too scared to call out our son because he's being a tyrant in the community, because we're hiding them out because they're our family. This event was meant to kill every single person in that vehicle. This is not just your little accidental, like when I was a kid, an individual, you will remember, an individual got accidentally shot, might have been an accident, accidentally shot in the throat with a BB gun. That was the severity of gun violence when me, Keoki, Joe, and Jordan and all them were growing up. That was the severity of gun violence. Accidentally shooting someone with a BB gun when you were bird hunting or when you were shooting cans. Now we got kids packing fully assault rifles and having access to full assault rifles. Jesus Christ. Come together, Hoopah. Rise up. This is probably the only time you'll hear me speak on a mic like this, because this is how bad this has affected me, my boys, this community. I look around, I've been on the phone all morning talking to families, trying to console their kid and making sure that their kid that has called me a father figure and a role model is safe. I can name a couple that have been in this community and helped out in this community, and kudos to you. But the work's not done. We need more. Step up. Step up. Assume the role as a male in this community. We're not from the hood. We're not from the city. We were born to love each other. And if we had conflict, we took care of it by our traditional ways. And those ways were in place for hundreds of years and never out of balance. Everything was taken care of, and it was something serious like this. There was a few instances in the history books where there was something like this. Exile. I don't feel safe. My son doesn't feel safe going to school tomorrow because there are people on the loose that meant to kill someone. Holy smokes.
Boy, thank you, Curtis. That's very powerful from the heart, and what everyone needed to hear. My name is Wes Crawford, currently a council member for the Yurok Tribe, serving this area in this district. But before that, I was a teacher for 25 years, taught a couple of you up there. And I'm glad and I'm thankful, Council. Thank you, Joe, for providing this opportunity for the community to be here to share what they feel and what's. And all of you, you're the leaders of this valley. Your heart brought you all here today. Creator brought you here today because you care. You care about the future of the Natinawe, the people here. And I'll say this, I grew up here. I was born and raised here. They walked Dr. Rickles, pulled me out over there, you know, and I've been a community member for almost 55 years in May. And it's the prayers of the Natinawe people, elders in this community, why I'm here. It gave me strength to go through my trials as a young man, experienced in my family and in this community. There were many. Gosh. Lately, we hear this thing, trauma-informed care. We hear generational trauma. Curtis, when you were talking about things, you know, uncle did this to you 10 to 20. I go, we create generational drama in this community, and it passes on and passes on generation after generation. But as a teacher, the last 5 years, I was able to teach a teacher on special assignment, cultural connections. And that wasn't the answer to our schools. But I will argue
that it was part of the answer. And we had a principal, a new principal, who was never a principal before, but all of a sudden he was the principal of the biggest school in the district, Hoop Elementary. And he was surprised by it too. But the school board said, you're the principal. And he's like, wow, okay, how do you do this? He got rid of cultural connections. And I was really upset about that, because I'll tell you a story about this young man who's fighting for his life. He's a kid who didn't get the math award or the English award or the science or history. But you know where that young man excelled? Cultural connections. I ask a question. You know, what do we use on our head rolls? Boom. His hand was in the air. Deal. Woodpeckers. Right on. What else? His hand was in the air. Deer's belly. He had all this cultural knowledge. He was, you know, he'd be getting A++ in cultural knowledge, but we don't, in our school culture, we don't honor our culture enough. We don't honor the kids who sacrifice in the summer at the brush dance, jump dance, who stand, our women, young ladies who stand, sacrificing for our people. We don't honor them as they should be. So the culture, hoopla culture, our local cultures need to be more integrated into our school cultures. That's part of the answer. Another part of the answer, a young lady mentioned on Facebook, because people were pointing at the tribes, the councils, and the schools as the direct reason why this tragedy happened. And this young lady, I think she's maybe a junior or senior, and she says, no, it's the parents. She pointed out it's the parents, because this starts at the kitchen table, right? Starts at the kitchen table discussing what we as Indian people, we as Hoopa people, Yurok people, Crew people, how we interact with each other, how we develop and grow into good people. Because that's what we were, all up and down the rivers. We're good people. Well, that discussion can't happen if you don't have a kitchen table, if you're still living in generational poverty where you don't have a place, a time in the day to have that discussion, because you're worried about feeding your kids or keeping your kids safe, or maybe there's alcohol and drugs dominating that household, and the kid doesn't get that. They don't get those lessons. So as Curtis said, and as others said, we must provide that opportunity for our youth. I tried, I did, I attempted, I failed. I know I haven't failed yet, because it's not gone, but we did have three meetings, sparsely attended by about 6 to 8 men from here. And we're talking about trying to provide a place where young men could come and see men in the community interact in a positive, good, cultural way. I can make things. I can make Al Kent. Curtis is also wonderful. You know, Joe has talent. Joe, you got all talents. You have these things. Brad's over here. He's a wealth of talent, of regalia making. We need to start sharing those gifts, providing opportunities for our young men to learn. And maybe it resounds with their DNA, right? Maybe making feathers is something they can do. They're like, wow, I was made to do this. That's what I'm going to do. But if we don't provide them the opportunity, they're never going to know. What are they going to do with their time? I don't know. Join a gang? What are they going to do? We see an example of what they're going to do if we don't, as men, provide them an opportunity to see who they are, to know who they are on this earth, what Creator put them here for. And I guarantee you, every one of you men in here will be there. We'll answer that call. I know it means a lot to you. I know you want your sons and your nephews to grow up in a good way, to be good people. And I'm with Curtis. I'm signed up. I'll back him. We'll back each other. And I'll say this, I promise you'll be hearing. I'm going to have another meeting for men. And we'll do it right over at the thing over here, building trading post. All men are invited. Come in a good way. Let's figure this out, guys. Thank you.
Leslie, did you have a comment?
you. My name's Leslie Hunt, community member, parent. I also serve on the Kamau Medical Board. Tonight we've heard some really deep thoughts, but I do want to point out, and I'm not trying to be negative, that the school system has been broken for a long time, even since I was in school. And the fact that when you go into the school now, it's all this kind of variegated, like, you know, system of trying to maneuver through the parking lot. Like, it's cutting out half of the ability to park in there. And as someone who is handicapped, there's only one spot. So it wasn't done with really forethought, but I was told the reason why they did that was because of gun violence, that they wanted to make sure that no one could drive by easily and shoot through the school system. So that's how long we've known we've had an issue here in the Valley with school violence. Bullying, you know, I've been firsthand with that. Probably when I was in grade school. Yeah, the 80s were great. That was my year. But it's always been here if you haven't been one of the chosen ones. And that could be because I went to church. That could be because I had parents. There was just a lot of various reasons why children get bullied. I think Farrah said earlier, you know, when you have someone in your life, that's what the ACE score does. They kind of measure your trials in your life and how far you are on that scale. And if any of you guys have done it yourselves, maybe you'll know where you're at in that level also, because that gets passed on to your children. And we don't understand that. I worry about the kids that go home to nothing. Joe mentioned earlier, you know, I did coaching throughout all of my kids' years in school because I worked full-time, and I felt glad that I worked full-time and I didn't have time to be with them. So I thought I'll coach everything that they did. Basketball, something that I wasn't good at, but I did it. Volleyball, cheerleading, soccer. I did soccer for a lot of years, and I took kids home. It was like this. It was dark. No one came to get them. We were over at the soccer field, and I did report it, but it didn't go anywhere because I didn't want the child to get in trouble either, because someone checked on the home because the coach said that, you know, no one came to get them. That's the other thing that us as volunteers have to deal with in the system is telling on people, so to speak, and it not being addressed accordingly. Oh, Leslie over there said you didn't pick up your kid today, you know. So that's how lackadaisical it goes, and that's inappropriate, and it's unprofessional. But I really hope that you listen to the girl that talked, the young adult who is struggling to just share with you her scaredness for herself, for her friends, to know that the child or the student was in school passing the gun around and no one did anything. I was told that there was a lot of incidents, and she said it. She said it right here to you guys. This has happened numerous times, maybe not the gun, but certain incidences that were gravely done to students and we didn't do anything. So what makes you think they're going to come forward now that someone has been killed, has been violently chased down the road, to which I heard the gunshots from my house. But, you know, as a community member, I get tired of calling the police that don't respond. And I'm sorry, James, but that's the reality. I have gun shootings all the time down at my end. Shoemaker, Mike's Point, ARs going off because it's a rambling session. And no one comes. No one even says, hey, Les, you know, has it stopped? No one calls back and says, you know, we got your report, we're going to look into it. It's just taken with no care. The speed chase all the time by where I live on Highway 96. And I get it. I love to go fast, but I ain't trying to kill someone. There's a big difference. I was told it started down here and went that way. So we let it go through the whole valley to a really bad residential area where kids ride bikes and are walking on the road. And we're lucky it was contained within those two cars. So we need to get on fire. Curtis said it. Man, you guys need to take hold of your children. I see parents all the time scared of their children. My dad took the belt. He had no problem with taking the belt. He didn't have a problem coming to the school and taking a belt to me or my brother, more so my brother. But, and that was understandable. But But, you know, we have to be aggressive, and we are raised by the village, you know. And I've told kids, hey, who are you? Because I'll go talk to your mom. I'll go talk to your grandma. I have no problem doing that. And I had to do that a couple times within my soccer, within any of my coaching. Like, I'm not going to be talked back to. I had to tell my kids, you know what? I'm donating my time. I'm here for 5 hours trying to make you guys jog and run and learn discipline on a sport that's new to me, too. But I'm doing it. Why? Because kids matter. And I want to implore you guys to make sure that everyone has a background. Because this is a time when predators come in and try to volunteer with our children. So we have to be mindful of that. And we have a lot of that here. We have a lot of protection of predators. And I'm sorry if it didn't get noted by the cops. We all know who they are. And I don't want them around my kids or my relatives. It's sad that we have to clap to support each other, but that's the reality of it. And we know that in the school, in our culture, in our families, predators have existed, and it's ruined every aspect of what we try to do on a good day. But we have to be willing to say, hey, sorry, you ruined your chance to be around the kids because you couldn't keep your hands to yourself. Or, hey, what you're doing in your lifestyle is not for our children. And we need to give sight to the parents that do show up. I did, when my kids were again in high school, I was an advisor. Right? I did their school advisor because I thought it was important for me to be involved in what they're doing. I want to know who's in the school system. I want to know what's going on. Well, now they've kind of taken that away. They give it to teachers first. So now they've taken community out of it, and they allow the teachers to apply for those jobs. And they take the parents, again, out of that situation. When I came in and did that situation, I had 10 faithful parents that showed up to everything that I did, volunteer work, you know, at the concessions, doing the fundraising. And my students, those junior and senior classes, knew those 10 parents really well, even though they had 40 parents. 10 were really faithful. And that's 10 people in this community that they could go to, that they could talk to, that they could say, hey, I'm having a hard day. Hey, I need a ride. Because that's the relationship that they were able to develop with those parents. But when we take them out and we wonder why we have nobody in the school system, well, you've blocked the parking. You don't have, there's no way elders are going to make it through that maze of arrows and everything. There's no parking for them. It's very poorly lit. My son has applied for a job as a coach. He hasn't gotten a job, but he said, hey, Mom, I'm doing concessions down here. I need help. No one showed up. So there I am. Got nothing involved with it, but I'm going down there because I want to make sure it happens for him. You know, even though he doesn't have the job, that's what we should be saying. It doesn't matter if I don't have it. I need to make sure that something has happened for next year. It's not even for this season. It's for next year. But I said, well, he's willing to do it. I will help him because that's how it works. When you get him, you get me. It may not always be perfect, but that's the reality of what I was raised, you know. I wasn't as good as my mom and dad by any means, but if I could be a quarter of what they were, I'm calling it good, you know, I would call it good. But my mom told me once, we should always be better than our parents. That should be your goal as a parent, to do better than your parents did to you. And we can see that they're not, clearly, you know, harboring. Joe, you said it best. I think, you know, if you get involved, and you were in a bad place at a bad time, that happens. That's happened to all of us. I've gotten in a car where I'm like, hey, I shouldn't be in this car. But I couldn't say no because I didn't want to be ostracized, you know? So I tried to like, hey, I'll get out at the next stop, or hey, someone's going to call for me. We don't know that. We don't know how to build those protections. Our children don't know how to protect themselves. And that's really scary because this is what happens. Guns come to school more than once. Children get in fights. Bullying's a big issue. For if you've ever been bullied, you know the intensity behind that and how poor you feel about yourself. And you start believing it, and then you've had it. And you go for violence because that's the only solution, because no one's listening to you. I'm told that these kids had numerous issues in school, and we didn't take it seriously. Well, there's a gang sign on the K-Rail at Blue Slide. It's H-O-G-N. I'm not in the police force, but I know that. Those are gang signs that are sprayed around. It's no joke. we want to belong because our community has ostracizes. These kids can have therapy all day long, and you can provide games, and you can provide whatever you think you need. But at 12 midnight, they've got to go somewhere. And that place is usually very dangerous because it's at home. It's with substance abuses. It's with sexual abuses. It's with physical abuses. That's the time we need to worry about. We call it the witching hour. There's a reason. Things bad happen at that time because no one's watching. No one's caring. No one's providing. We know what the solution is. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to be active more. I shouldn't have to get paid to volunteer. That's what volunteering is